Chapter 11. Everything happened all at once. I jumped to my feet and swung my sharp gun around before I had time to think. And the rest of the table sprang up right behind me. Then I took a step in front of Ihara, and I found my girls already with their guns and forming a tight line in front of our alien friend. We stood shoulder to shoulder and aimed our advanced weapons at the snarling man with a K2. Three more men from his table stood up, and their eyes all flashed as they pointed their guns at us, too. Their muscles bulged under their shirts, and their various scars reminded me of just how dangerous they would have to be to work for a man like Quan. Adhara shuffled a little behind me as the first man with the burn on his face stared right past me, and his gray eyes stayed focused on the beautiful alien I guarded.
"Move, boy," he spat. "We heard you talk. She is the reason why the world is fucked."
"If you heard us, then you know she isn't the reason," I said with my sharp gun still aimed at the man's chest. "Stand down, or this won't end well for you." I spoke with a confidence I didn't entirely feel, but the burned man took the smallest step backward as he glanced at my razor-thin alien weapon. I could tell by the flicker of fear in his eyes that he'd been in the jungle with us the night I used this gun against the Therizinosauruses. He had to know a bullet from this gun, at this range, would tear straight through his heart and through the next four people behind him, too. Then Quan slowly walked around the table and past our defensive line, and his silent, purposeful stride oozed stoic intimidation. His men flinched as he approached, and he brought himself so close to the burned man I almost thought he was going to headbutt him. I would have paid to see that happen. There was a moment where Quan simply stared into the man's eyes, and I could almost see the guy's soul leave his body while the heavy silence stifled us all. Then the Underground King barked something in Korean, and his gravelly command caused every man in front of us to immediately lower their weapons. The burned man stared at the ground as his arms fell limply down, and he suddenly went from bloodthirsty gangster to sheepish little kid being put in his place.
"Shameful," Quan growled. "You point your guns at my son-in-law, at my family, in my own home."
A chill ran down my spine, as I comprehended that this was the family I was marrying into tomorrow. A family with a guy like this at the head, who delivered these boss lines in the lowest, most lethal tone I'd ever heard outside of a movie theater. And it fucking worked, too. The burly Korean men with the K2 shifted their weight awkwardly, and I couldn't help grinning as they mumbled under their breaths. That's when I realized I had a whole army to back me up in life. Marrying Hae-won was already a dream come true because I loved her, but the addition of a badass father-in-law who could make grown killers cower definitely sweetened the deal.
"You will never disrespect my family again," Quan said in an ominously quiet growl. "If you want to stay here, with all of this protection and food, then you remember who this man is to my family. He is the future husband of my only daughter, the father of my first grandchild. You have a problem with the words he says. You hand over that gun, and you can go out and fight for your own life in the jungle."
Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Becca's jaw unhinge, and I decided Quan's quiet tone was a million times scarier than when he shouted. I could only hope I would never be on the receiving end of it. The burned man mumbled something in Korean, and his face flushed dark red. The other men nodded and silently shuffled back to their table, and Quan stayed right where he was and watched the men all sit down. Then the Underground King slowly shook his head as he turned back to us.
"I apologize for their behavior," Quan said and placed a firm hand on my shoulder. "This is an insult to you, but I am impressed. You are a good man, Jason. You protect your women well, even against assault rifles. I like this about you."
I nodded as he roughly shook my frame, and as Quan headed for his place at the table again, I turned my attention back to the men with my sharp gun still in hand. They looked suitably humiliated as they stared down into their coffee cups and scowled as they drank. When I was satisfied they wouldn't try any of that shit again, I turned to look at Ihara. Her silver eyebrows were high as she peered over the table of men, and she wiggled her fingers at her sides while she let out a low and nervous hum. "Are you okay?" I asked gently, and took her hand in mine.
"I am fine,"
she replied as her eyes darted back to me.
"You'll always look after me."
"Always," I smiled, and the girls nodded in agreement before they started to sit back down at the table. Kat scowled at the burned man as she flung her gun back over her shoulder, and Haywan had her big blue eyes narrowed into perilous slits that reminded me a lot of her father. Becca simply flicked her hair and gave the burned man a scathing look up and down, and then she sent me a smug smirk. As I sat back down with the rest of Haywan's family, I found G scowling over at the other men. But the brothers looked like it was any old day at their father's base while they resumed eating. The other tables in the dining room began to talk once more, and Adhara tensely sipped her tea, but I still had adrenaline coursing through my body. I tried to calm down the rage that had built up from Adhara being so close to having her brains blasted out of her skull, and I took a long swig of herbal tea before I drew a deep breath.
"So,"
G said after a moment,
"on a lighter note, we have much to prepare for tomorrow. Are you ready for your wedding?"
Becca stifled a giggle by downing her tea, but I managed a grin for Haywan's mother. "I can't wait," I assured her as my temper calmed. "I got my outfit all picked out, and Haywan even got a beautiful hanbok. We're ready to go."
"It's going to be so beautiful,"
Becca gushed.
"I'm so jealous."
"You want a wedding too?"
G asked with a smile. My head whipped to the side as Becca nodded.
"Look at this guy. I'd have to be an idiot to not want to marry him one day,"
the blonde Brit snorted.
"But I'm not pouting or anything. I'm just so happy for Haywan. She's going to look beautiful."
I watched closely as Becca gave an awkward shrug and looked down at her teacup, and her beautiful smile fell just the tiniest bit before she took a sip. Becca had been so excited to find out she was pregnant, and it was all she talked about with regards to us for weeks. I hadn't even realized she would be upset about me marrying Haywan and not her. We'd always had such an incredible family dynamic, and the girls were all happy to share me. But if Becca wanted to be married, too... My heart panged a little as I wished I could invite her to be a part of tomorrow's ceremony. Getting married was something I wanted to do with all my girls. Or all of them who wanted to marry me, at least. I looked over at Quan, but he didn't seem to be paying the conversation any attention as he watched the table with the burned man like a hawk. Then Haywan chimed in.
"Why don't you join us?"
she asked, and my head snapped back to look at the Korean beauty.
"Join you where?"
Becca asked.
"At the temple,"
Haywan chuckled.
"Why don't you get married too?"
Becca's mouth fell open, and she looked over at me. Haywan's smile was as big as Becca's now, and the blonde's eyes filled up with tears.
"You mean it?"
Becca asked.
You wouldn't mind if Jason married me too? I don't want to ruin your big day, and I didn't mean..." "Of course not,"
Haywan laughed.
"I love you, you gorgeous little Brit. You know I've only ever wanted you to be happy with our man as well. We all belong to each other."
"Oh, my God,"
Becca breathed, but she seemed too shocked to do anything but gape. I snuck another glance at Quan to see how he was handling this, but he and his wife were discussing something in Korean that seemed to be centralized on the men who'd threatened my alien lover. I knew Quan had already accepted my relationship with all the girls, though, so I figured it might not make much difference to him if I married two of my lovers instead of just one. Haywan's brothers all had raised eyebrows, but none of them said a damn word, like they were holding their breaths as much as I was. I couldn't believe I was suddenly thinking about taking another bride for myself, but as Becca sniffed and frantically wiped her eyes, I decided now was as good a time as any to make it official, just so my beautiful blonde lover would never doubt how much I wanted her to be my wife. I slowly stood up and set my napkin aside, and then I made my way over to the two women I'd started this whole dino apocalypse with. When I reached Becca and Haywan, I knelt down on one knee beside the beautiful Brit, and Kat gasped as her hand flew up over her mouth. "Becca," I said, and she turned bright pink as she stared at me through teary eyes.
"Oh my God,"
Becca croaked.
"Jason, are you..."
"Becca," I repeated, and I reached out to hold her hand. Will you make me the happiest man in the universe? And marry me tomorrow?
Holy fuck!
The blonde shrieked, and she flung herself into my arms as she pressed her mouth up against mine. I chuckled as I kissed her soft, tear-stained lips for a moment, but then I quickly pulled back with a grin. Was that a yes? I laughed.
Shut the fuck up, yes!
Becca belted, and Haywan squealed as she lunged at the both of us. Then I had both my lovers in my arms, and we all laughed as I held them close and listened to Becca swearing repeatedly through her tears. I already couldn't wait for our wedding night.
We will need to adjust this ceremony slightly,
G said, and I looked over to see her smiling at me like a Korean angel. Kwan was still focused on his men, but he nodded silently to acknowledge his wife.
You don't mind?
Becca asked with wide brown eyes.
I promise I don't want to step on Haywan's toes. It's just, I want to marry Jason so much too, and...
It's not traditional,
G nodded sweetly.
But it is not my place to tell others how to live their lives. These are strange times we are in. Love is one thing we could all use some more of.
You both are becoming wife.
Adhara shrugged a little.
Why is this to mind? Is this not how humans have mating partners?
Becca snorted at the alien's phrasing, and Haywan shot a wary glance at her father. Even though he knew she was pregnant, I guess the term mating partner maybe sounded less than romantic.
I said hurriedly. Usually people only have one wife on Earth, but our family is a little different.
Yes,
Adhara nodded.
I like your kind of family. It is a good one. But I do not think you should have the tiny trees at the wedding.
I'll keep that in mind, I laughed. Thank you.
So,
Kat grinned.
Does this mean you need to go and get another dress, Becca?
Actually,
the blonde hummed.
I may have already packed a wedding dress that I loved in the bag, just because it was so fucking pretty. And everyone was all lovey and cute, and when the hell else am I going to find a pretty dress in a fucking apocalypse?
Oh, I see, I said with a teasing grin. So you already had plans to be my wife?
I was just hoping,
Becca said with an embarrassed smile.
I thought maybe one day, if we're not eaten first, you might want to marry me. I know I don't have a super scary dad to intimidate you into it, but I don't know. Thought you might be into me.
You're so fucking cute, I snickered.
Shut up! I'm romantic,
the blonde groaned.
But I meant it about not butting in on your big day. Haywan should go first in the ceremony, since she was engaged first and all. You are so sweet.
Haywan sighed with an adoring smile.
This is exactly why I want my future husband to marry you.
I burst out laughing at the pair of adorable women in my arms, and I could hear Haywan's brothers chuckling to themselves nearby.
We are going to need more ducks,
Sun-hee whispered to Tae.
Well, I do not understand, Min-jun snorted as he shook his head. But as long as my little sister is happy and not killed by dinosaurs, then I am happy.
Thanks, man, I said with a nod. I appreciate the support. I was cut off when a sudden burst of footsteps echoed from the corridor, and a tall man with a shaved head raced in and sprinted over to our table. He breathlessly said something to Kwan, and the underground king jumped to his feet. The brothers quickly followed, and I stood up as the Korean conversation continued.
He says dinos have attacked the base entrance,
Haywan translated as the girls scrambled up from the floor.
It seems as if they are trying to get down through the elevator.
Oh, shit, I said, as Kwan raced to the doorway. Come on, let's go. I ran alongside Min-jun as we chased after Kwan. We tore through the lobby, and Min-jun hit the elevator button to call it down.
Sun-hee,
Min-jun said, as his younger brothers caught up.
Get the brasta from my room.
The youngest brother nodded and took the keycard from his brother's hand. And then he tore off down the men's corridor as the elevator arrived. The girls caught up with us then, and we all piled into the glass structure together. What kind of dinosaurs? I asked, as the doors slid shut.
More Therizinosauruses, Kwan said grimly. I knew there would be more of them.
Especially after we killed so many of their herd.
Kat nodded.
If there's one thing we've found out, it's that these fuckers remember things and hold grudges.
I could hear screams as the elevator went up, and I made sure I was in front of the girls as I faced the doorway with my sharp gun clutched in my hands. There was an ear-piercing sound like nails being scraped on glass, and a sudden flurry of gunshots. The elevator reached the ground floor, and I could already see the carnage through the glass doors as we stopped. A dead Therizinosaurus took up the whole room with its torso, and the bottom half of it was stuck out of the door. As the elevator doors opened, we heard more gunshots, and I had to climb over the corpse of the dinosaur to get outside. The flesh was slippery with blood, and it felt weirdly bouncy as I ran over its back. As I jumped onto the grass, I could see the tall hedge had been torn apart by the dinos. There were massive chunks of it ripped away, and talon marks were carved deep into the ground. I jumped through the torn hedge to find three Korean men already mid-fight amongst the trees. They shot at a nearly dead Therizinosaurus as it tried to flee back into the jungle, and they managed to bring it down with another couple of bullets to the neck. The dinosaur crashed onto its front, and there was a crunching noise as its snout hit the ground. The long claws stuck out at odd angles, and there was a final spasm in its tail before it fell silent. I looked around, but couldn't see any more of the long-clawed bastards.
"There is a nest," one of the men said, as he turned and wiped blood from his face. "A little deeper into the woods."
There was a crunch behind him, and I shoved the man to the side just as another Therizinosaurus leapt from the trees. I aimed my sharp gun right at its head, and as its jaw split in a deafening roar, I pulled the trigger. The bullet flew into the back of the dino's throat and out the back of its skull. A trail of pink gore and spinal bones flew along with the bullet, and the dino's eyes rolled back as it slumped onto its side, dead. The thud shook the ground, and I wiped dino blood from my boot onto a nearby shrub.
"Good shot," Quan said as he patted my back. "I did not even hear that one approaching."
"So there's a nest?" I asked, as I took a step away from the sharp claws of the fallen beast. "We should try and move it."
"Move it?"
Becca asked as she looked down at the body.
"Why don't we just destroy it?"
"They already know where we live," I said as I gestured to the dinosaur, which was lodged inside the building. "If their nest gets destroyed, the rest are going to know who to come for."
"I fucking hate these dinos,"
Cat growled.
"But they can't get down the elevator," Tay said, "right?"
"No," I admitted, "but they could recruit smaller ones who could. I know that sounds insane, but we dealt with a herd back in England, and they had full-blown planned attacks."
"It is true,"
Haywan nodded.
"The bigger ones would draw us out to fight while the little ones tried to get inside the castle.
And the little bastards pulled it off, too,"
Becca scoffed.
"Shit,"
Minjun said in a bassy tone. I studied the jungle, but I couldn't see any more dinosaurs moving through the trees. The wind had picked up since our drive into the city, and some gray clouds rolled in front of the sun. But as I took a few moments to listen out for the eerie clicking sound, all I could hear was a shuffle of the men's footsteps and the gentle swaying of the fronds in the trees. Then Sun Hee swore behind us as he climbed over the dino corpse near the elevator, and he handed Min Jun the alien blaster. Quan's men walked over to the dinosaur that was blocking the entrance of the small black building and started to pull the body out. It took all three of them just to get a firm grip on the tail, and they grunted as the dinosaur's body slowly started to edge out into the clearing.
"Where is the nest?"
Min Jun asked, and one of the armed men pointed over to the west side of the jungle. The oldest brother started to lead the way into the trees, and my women and I quickly followed behind him with our sharp guns ready. Quan walked alongside us, and his dark eyes narrowed as he studied the treetops.
"Almaty nest is close?"
Edhara asked quietly as she jogged to catch up with me.
"I think Jason is correct. We should not destroy."
"We kill all we can," Minjun said. "If they hatch, that is a new generation of beasts running around the jungle. We cannot have this."
I understood his logic, but I also knew moving the nest would be the safest option to keep the base clear. Like Becca had said, we dealt with large herds of dinosaurs before, and we knew what they were capable of. Killing their young was a surefire way to have murderous dinos knocking down our glass elevator door. We moved quickly through the trees and kept quiet as we listened out for any eerie clicks. The bumpy terrain was covered in beautiful plant life, bright flowers and spiky leafed weeds, but no dinos came rushing from between the leaves.
"Maybe we killed all of them?"
Becca whispered as we went deeper into the forest.
"I do not think so," Tay said. "We have seen more and more of these ones for weeks. I believe there must be hundreds of them in the jungle.
As we walked, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. I imagined the dinosaurs hidden in the shadows with their long claws ready to lacerate our bodies. It was probably just my imagination running wild, but I glanced over my shoulder every few steps, just in case. After a few minutes of trekking, we found the Therizinosaurus nest, and we all stopped short several feet away. It was made of sticks and dirt, and 5 eggs twice as big as my head were tucked inside. They were a pale yellow color, and one of them already had a crack running down the middle. "Oh, fuck," I said. "Those are some big babies."
"So we move them?"
Cat hissed as she glanced around.
"We better do it quickly before Mama Dino gets back."
"Okay," I nodded. "I'll pick up the..." There was a sudden burst of purple light, and I almost jumped a foot into the air as Min Jun fired the blaster. The violet ball of alien gases hurtled into the nest, and the eggs erupted into a volcano of goop and broken shells. "Holy shit!" I gasped as I stared at the smoking, gory remains.
"The eggs are now scrambled." Min Jun shrugged and turned on his heels. "Let's go back."
Quan nodded once and followed his son, and Haewon sprinted after the pair with her high ponytail swinging behind her.
"Min Jun!"
Haewon scolded.
"You should have listened to Jason! That was a stupid thing to do!"
"Jason is not the only man here who knows how to handle his shit, sister,"
Min Jun replied as the three disappeared into the trees.
"The blasters are too fun,"
Becca grumbled while we turned around.
"I guess once you've used them, it's too tempting not to do it again."
"Min Jun likes to shoot stuff," Tay nodded. "You think they will try to attack the base more because of this?"
"It's possible, yeah," I sighed. "But I guess unless they work out how to actually use the elevator, it might not come to anything."
"They might just hit the button accidentally,"
Kat said with a casual shrug.
"Imagine the glass doors sliding open and a herd of raptors just bursts out. Now we're all trapped in an underground bunker with bullets flying all over the place and blood making that concrete floor nice and slippery."
"No, thank you," Sun-Hee shuddered. "It is bad enough having them out here."
"Well, we'll see,"
the pretty soldier sighed. We trekked back to the base, and it wasn't long before we caught up to Quan, Min Jun, and Haewon. My Korean lover looked irritated with the brawny men, and she waited for us to reach her with her arms crossed. Sun-Hee and Tae both took turns scruffing her tidy ponytail as they passed her up, and Haewon rolled her eyes at her older brothers. I still felt a prickle on the back of my neck as we walked, but the girls chatted quietly, and the brothers strode ahead with their father without much concern. I hung back from the group by a few paces as I tried to keep all of my senses on high alert at once. But still, no sounds came from the dense jungle around me.
"Are you okay, Jason?"
Becca asked as she studied my face.
"You don't look super thrilled."
"I'm not," I said as I glanced at the treetops. "I just feel like something's watching us."
"Ew, creepy,"
Becca said.
"Maybe we should..."
There was a sudden howl as a Therizinosaurus leapt out of the trees, and it jumped straight toward Quan and Haewon's brothers. The men startled, but the dino's long claws were already outstretched as it flew through the dense fronds at a breakneck pace. And I was ready for the fucker. I took aim and fired a shot at its head seconds before it reached the group of Korean men, and my sharp bullet struck the dino right in the eye socket. The eyeball exploded open and took half the skull with it as the dino crashed to the ground. And if I hadn't been so on edge, I probably wouldn't have been ready to shoot so quickly. Reasons to always trust my instincts in the fucking apocalypse. "Are you guys okay?" I asked as we ran over to Quan. The Korean man nodded as he looked down at the huge beast. His dark eyes were wider than normal, and his nostrils flared with every breath.
"Min Jun!"
Haewon scolded again, and she smacked her oldest brother on the arm.
"I told you to listen to Jason. See what happens?"
Min Jun seemed lost for words as he watched his father, and Quan turned to me with the same stricken expression.
"You have saved us once again," the underground king said. "I am grateful to call you my son-in-law."
"Yes. Thank you, Jason,"
Sun-Hee managed as he kicked one of the long talons.
"How did we not hear this thing coming?"
"It did not want you to,"
Edhara said simply.
"It wanted you to die for the death that has been brought to the nest."
"Yeah, I didn't hear it either," I admitted. "I just sort of, sensed it." It sounded stupid to say out loud, and I quickly stopped talking.
Believe in your instincts, Quan nodded. If you sense something, then you must trust your gut. This is how to live in all walks of life.
Yes, listen to our father, Tay chuckled. He knows what he is talking about. So do we evaporate it now?
I nodded, and the two younger brothers excitedly aimed their sharp guns at the corpse.
Thank you,
Heiwan whispered as she laced her fingers into mine.
You saved my family.
My beautiful fiancé stood on her tiptoes and kissed me on the cheek, as the stench from molten dinosaur started to drift through the air. I always will, I promised. We're to be married soon, after all. It's official. You're stuck with me.
I better be,
Heiwan laughed.
I'm feeling more and more attached to you by the day. We all are. I wish I could tell my mum,
Becca sighed, as we watched the dino goop illuminate as it fizzled into the ground.
She would be so excited.
We'll see her again soon, I assured her. I can imagine Debbie at a wedding is a force to be reckoned with.
Oh my god,
Kat giggled.
Imagine her getting wasted and dancing on a table with Quan.
They would steal the show, I laughed. Maybe when all of this is over, we can bring the families together for a celebration.
I'd like that.
Becca sent me a blushy smile.
Yeah, it would be perfect,
Heiwan agreed. It was an incredible thought. I hadn't let myself imagine a world without dinosaurs too much recently. It had seemed too impossible. And I was so grateful for what I had, despite the world being utterly fucked. But now that Idhara had sent out her message, there was a very real chance a dino-free world could be ours again. It would take a shitload of help from the aliens to kill all the beasts, especially the droves now lurking in our oceans. But if the portal stopped opening, then I knew it had to be possible. We could still save the fucking world. The putrid stench of the dead dinosaur heightened and snapped me out of my thoughts, and I coughed as we left behind the sludge still sinking into the ground. The other dinosaur the armed men had pulled out from the elevator entrance and into the clearing laid in front of the base doorway now, and Sun He ran ahead before he started to evaporate it. What'll we do about the hedge? I asked, as we reached the destroyed barrier. There were leaves and twigs strewn everywhere, and it was barely even a hedge anymore, never mind a fence.
We will build something else, Quan shrugged. We have materials and skilled men. This is not a worry for me.
We waited for Sun He to destroy the corpse before we headed inside, and Quan spoke to his men in Korean as we all crammed into the elevator. I suddenly felt exhausted as the glass structure took us underground, and I was looking forward to crawling into bed after a hot shower. If any of the girls wanted to join me tonight, it would be an added bonus. Not that I felt like I was in the clear with Quan entirely, but he'd seemed pretty accepting of my new wedding plans, at least. Maybe now Idhara would be comfortable joining us all in bed together, too. I tried not to focus too much on that thought as I stood next to Quan's deadly-looking men. But Kat caught my eye as I smirked to myself. The soldier sent me her lopsided grin, and I couldn't wait to see all the girls tangled up together. When the elevator reached the lobby, we piled out as Quan barked some kind of orders to his men. The three guys raced off down the hallway my girls and I had found to be locked before. And I figured they were off to collect supplies to build a new barricade.
Well, Quan said as he folded his arms, this has been an eventful day. We must have our rest before the ceremony tomorrow.
I cannot wait,
Heiwan smiled.
Me neither,
Becca squealed.
Heiwan, we need to get up super early to do our hair and makeup and help the others with it, too. Makeup?
Edhara asked with a puzzled frown.
I already have hair. Yeah, see, this is why I'm helping you.
Becca sighed as she put an arm around the alien.
You're already gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but a little bit of mascara never hurt anyone, and this is Jason's wedding. Jason, shit's gonna be perfect, all right?
Ladies,
Quan eyed my group of lovers.
I would like a moment alone with Jason.
My stomach dropped, and I had no idea what to expect next. As much progress as I'd made with the Korean man, he still had the ability to make my skin crawl with nerves, and I'd never been completely alone with the stone-faced guy before. What if he had a fucking dungeon in the base? The girls all looked at me with equally blank expressions like they were thinking along the same lines as me.
Sure?
Kat said with a reluctant nod.
have fun?
Be nice,
Heiwan warned her father.
When am I not nice?
Quan asked with the straightest face, and he nodded to his sons who turned to make their way down the men's corridor.
Jason, follow me.
The Korean man turned on his heels and started to walk back toward the elevator. Okay, I said with uncertainty, and gave the girls a half-hearted wave.
Bring gun,
Edhara suggested, and Kat elbowed her hard.
Good luck,
the soldier added. Thanks, I chuckled. I followed after Quan and joined him in the elevator. He hit a button at the bottom of the control panel, and the girls stood and watched as the doors slid shut. To my surprise, we started to move downward, and I wondered if my dungeon idea had been so far-fetched after all.